Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The Prime Minister's insisted businesses and consumers will benefit from alcohol duty changes today. It's despite tax increases affecting some types of drink. The National Housing Federation's welcomed free legal advice aimed at helping tens of thousands of people each year who are at risk of losing their homes. The organisation representing housing associations says it's particularly important with the increase in the cost of living. England face China in their final group game at the Women's World Cup this lunchtime. If the Lionesses win or draw, they'll progress as Group D winners. And Peak Wildlife Park in Staffordshire is celebrating the birth of a Humboldt penguin chick. It's now about 3 weeks old. Senior keeper Rhys Greenhow explains they're not sure yet if it's a boy or a girl.
So we actually have to do DNA tests on our penguins. The way we do that is we'll take several feathers just from the top of their chest area, and then we send that off to a laboratory, and they'll do a DNA test on it based on the blood sample that they find in that little feather, and that'll tell us whether they're male or female.
From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £54 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Yeah, I'm not the best dancer.
Hit it! Dip me, Dermot! Dip me like you've never dipped before!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Hello, I'm Dr. Olamide Savage. I want parents and guardians to know that, with measles cases in England rising, it's important to check your children are up to date with their MMR vaccinations. It's the safest and most effective way to protect your child. Check their Red Book to ensure they are up to date with vaccinations, and book any missed doses with their GP practice. To find out more, visit nhs.uk/MMR.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful Radio.
Good morning. Good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you're listening to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto. And, of course, we are coming to you from the heart of London to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. And this wonderful time we are coming to you from, of course, you know Kenya, very well known in the Lion King, the land of Hakuna Matata. So this is where we are coming from, and so happy to be on the ground in Nairobi on a wonderful day. Not so hot, not so cold, just the right weather. The balance is right, I promise you, you know. Coming from London, where sometimes we experience all the weather seasons in a day. So this is a bit much better. And I'm joined by a great friend of mine here in Nairobi, here in Kenya. Is a great man and doing quite a lot. His name is Dr. Victor Mbuvi. Welcome to the show. Say hello to our listeners.
Hello, hello, listeners. Great to be with you. My name is Dr. Mbuvi, and I'm pleased to be here with you today. And it's great you're in Kenya. Karibu sana.
Thank you. To those who don't know, karibu in Swahili, yes, means welcome.
Yes.
And when someone tells you that, you say thank you. And how do you say that? Asante sana.
Asante sana.
Yes, Mr. Bubi, yeah, introduce to our listeners the wonderful things that you do here in this country.
Yes, in this country I am a gospel musician and minister. I also preach, and I also am a TV presenter with two different TV stations. There's one called Look Up TV, and there's one called Triple P TV. Yes.
Definitely so. So we are talking to a great man, a TV presenter in Kenya, on the ground. Not just that, he does sing wonderful music.
Thank you.
In three different languages.
Yes.
Kamba, Swahili, and English.
Yes, exactly, precisely.
And of course, he's not very new to England. He went to university in England as well, so he's not such a new person in this wonderful country of Great Britain. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Good to have you around.
My pleasure, sir.
Now that I'm on the ground, mm-hmm, I just want to explore a different issue, which mm-hmm is very, well, often ignored, but
yes,
it's important.
Yes.
How important is singing in one's mother tongue, in your mother tongue, in
yes.
your own language. Because
yes.
what people don't need to know, our listeners need to know, Kenya has got some 43 different tribes.
Dialects, tribes, yes.
When you talk about a tribe in Kenya, you're talking about one tribe could be up to 6 million people or 5 million people.
Yes.
And each tribe constitutes a totally different language
yes.
from the other.
Distinct from the other one.
Exactly.
Singing in your mother tongue is pivotal. You see, just like the word says, mother tongue, it's every expression of yours you are taught from the beginning when you're born in that language. So it ties to everything. So by the time I'm speaking in English or Kiswahili, I'm translating my thought process from my mother tongue to the other one. So there are things you can easily express in your mother tongue that you may lack a word to express in Kiswahili or in English for that matter, or in French or whatever other dialect you're talking about. If I give an example of languages people understand, for example, the language Greek. The language Greek is so exhaustive. When it talks about love, it talks about agape, eros. It also talks about plato, you know, different kinds of love. When it comes to English, it's only love. So a Greek person will want to sing about maybe a person they're in love with. That is eros. Then they'll want to sing in the next verse the love of God and the love of a brother. Now, all of us are called loving as far as English is concerned. So you're limited in terms of language. So singing in mother tongue, even if you know English, and I know English and Swahili, I'd rather sing in mother tongue exactly how that song came and exactly the meaning, and then transliterate it for you into Swahili and English for you to actually understand what I'm saying. Because, for example, in one of my songs, it's called Kwata Kawaya. It's a good day. Evindayo tanu, a good day of joy. Evindaya mulyo. A joy. You see, how do I say if they say if your tanu ya moyo, utanu is
joy.
Utanu is joy, moyo is
it's almost the same.
Exactly. But it means different. It's almost
yeah.
the same when you try to translate it into
enjoyment.
English.
Moyo is enjoyment.
Yes, but in Kikamba I'm able to bring all those meanings distinct.
You can separate them.
I can separate.
They each have their own
meaning
one.
Totally.
Yeah.
So if I just say, no, let me not sing in Kamba, let me sing in English, it lacks something.
Yeah.
But if I sing in Kamba and I translate, I'll try and tell you, this is what, some words cannot be translated, this word means is this word, I have to explain.
Yeah.
So there's more detail I'm able to capture with my mother tongue, because it also involves your culture, where you come from. Exactly.
I agree, because context matters.
Context does matter.
And I think in terms of having more than one meaning, one word, but with different meanings.
Yes.
It's amazing, like,
exactly.
as you're saying, yeah.
Yes.
In English,
it's
love is just love.
Love is just love.
But when you come to Kamba language, there
yes.
are almost three different words.
There
capturing
you
the same, but in different contexts.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah,
so,
and the same we explain in Greek.
So you see,
example.
Greek also is that detailed. Hebrew is that detailed. All our mother tongues are all that detailed. So when you're translating it, or translate it, it becomes difficult.
But we have an issue when it comes to ourselves as Africans. Of course, we are in Africa in focus here, you know.
Yes.
And when it comes to aspiration, being seen as friendly, being seen as embracing the world of today.
Yes.
We have a very youthful generation
yes.
in different countries in Africa.
Yes.
We have more fans, maybe more fans of Man U or Arsenal in Kenya than England.
Yes.
And you know, historically, I think in Kenya there was a fan of Man U,
yes,
a lady who died, which is even funny because
weird.
Because when you talk about spectating to that level, it's unusual.
That's crazy.
When you begin to also think, it's happening on the ground in Kenya.
Yes.
So when you see these things, what is better is out there, generation that is knowing that.
Yes.
Generation that is
yes.
like, it's not good enough if it's not important. It's
exactly.
not from abroad.
Exactly.
And when it comes to language, it's also the same.
It's the same thing.
The competition is how good you can speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not even Swahili.
Not even Swahili, which is also ours here.
So at what point do you think mother tongue becomes important?
Mother tongue is important from the point A. And if somebody doesn't have mother tongue, they're missing out. I don't know what taught us that. I think it's what we call neocolonialism. I don't know who taught us that what comes from without, like you're saying, is better than what comes from within. Because even through my musical process, I have gotten the opportunity to make people wish. There were people who had forsaken Kamba. I wish I knew Kamba. Because maybe somebody in their past before sold to them the goods of the language that comes from also French, English, Japanese are better.
Yeah.
But now when you come and put melody into the Kamba that I do, you start hearing somebody say, you mean Kamba is that sweet? You mean Kikuyu is that sweet? You mean our languages are that sweet?
Exactly.
So it takes one person to show people, no, the perspective you've been given is off. Besides, if I sing English, I can only be second best or third best to the Mzungu, because the Englishman is the best in English. And even the Englishman, when he comes to Kenya, his interest is not their own music. They have it.
They
want to capture what do we have here.
Yeah.
So that's what you trade. You take to them, music and culture are one thing. You take to them, you show them, showcase to them. That's why they come here, to see the Maasai's, to see the, you know. And Maasai's have been very preservative of their own culture.
Yeah.
That's why the Mzungu will come all the way there. The people will come all the way to tourism to come and see the Maasai's.
Yeah.
That is to tell you that what we have is beautiful.
Of course.
The moment Obama became president in the U.S., people started going to Kogelo, to visit Kogelo.
Obama's village, father's village in Kenya.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that should already start telling us what we have is beautiful. What others also have is beautiful. But let us not deprive them of the joy of enjoying what we have here. Because everyone wants to discover, what does the Englishman, if I'm Kenyan, what does the Englishman have? Not for you to change what you have for theirs, but to exchange and enjoy. You tell them, this is my music, what is yours? That is how we have a rich a worldwide cultural heritage.
Amazing. So when you think about what is the causal factors, especially for this, I when I look at it, I think maybe we don't appreciate enough what we have. And how wrong are we?
Mm.
Because what we have is great. And I've seen some songs, like, of course, in your one, maybe Friended, I've seen the English people dancing to Kwata Kawaya song, and everywhere you go, people sing and they dance. And after dancing, they say to someone, what does this song say?
What does it say? In other words, they've enjoyed the beat, they felt what you're speaking is passionate enough. There's a time, just to emphasize that point. There's a time a person came from Kenya. He was a Kikuyu. Kikuyu is one of the languages in Kenya. So when he went to the UN, unfortunately, it's some time back when still blacks were being segregated to some extent. When he went to the UN, the people assumed he's a porter or a doorman or something. So they kind of discriminated him. Maybe they didn't get to know. So by the time he was getting to the podium, he was one of the main speakers. He was really agitated. He was mad. When he got into the podium, for 1 minute, he could only express his frustration in one language. First, Kikuyu, his mother tongue.
Yeah.
After he finished you know the way you want to remove that. He spoke about how he's been discriminated in Kikuyu. He spoke with so much passion.
Yeah.
After he finished now, he said, now let me read the speech that brought me here to the UN.
Yeah.
He spoke and spoke and spoke and read and read and finished. When he finished, everyone congregated right around him. To tell him he spoke well, but to ask him, there's something you spoke so passionately about, that is what we are interested in.
Yeah.
What was that?
Mm.
You see, so what we carry is the only thing we can express ourselves most with. Granted, we're in a new generation whereby maybe some of the young people don't understand their own mother tongue. But then again, don't kill yourself so that you can be able to speak Queen's English or the US English. Don't kill yourself for that.
This is Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
There's something the Nigerians are doing that I've really admired. they do understand, the new generation, especially the millennial artists, they do understand maybe we don't know our mother tongue as well. But also, our English is not the one that
the
comes
Queen's
from
English.
Europe. Exactly. We have our own pidgin English. That's what they are singing in. And when they sing in it, it's English, but it's Africanized. So don't sell yourself short. Don't force yourself to be too traditional if you don't were not raised in traditional Ukambani. And don't kill yourself being somebody else. Be you.
Be you, be you. And I love the part, the idea that even you brought the pidgin English in
exactly.
conversation.
Yes.
Do you know, it took BBC to start broadcasting in pidgin English.
Wow.
It took Nigerians to have confidence in their pidgin English.
Exactly.
Until to the level that BBC World Service embraced
pidgin English. Look at that.
So today when you go to West Africa, BBC is broadcasting in Hausa language. We come to East Africa in Swahili language. Mm-hmm. But also the same West Africa in Nigeria, now they have embraced
pidgin English. Exactly. It's not exactly the Englishman's English. It's not exactly mother tongue, but it is you. Because this is what you speak
exactly.
every day. It's a pidgin English you speak
yeah.
every day. So when you embrace that, it is you. If you sing something that is not you, there's a disconnect. There's something called integrity. What you speak and who you are, that's their one. But if what you sing and who you are not one, people will know you can sing well, but there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
They're not, for lack of a better term, they're not feeling you. Why? Because you're not expressing it who you as who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then let's have a quick run-up in terms of your singing career. And then
yes.
after that, we'll chat about other things.
Yes.
Yeah. So what got you to music? How did you start?
The first sentence I use of how I got into music, the next statement somebody tells me is, oh, Paule, or why, I'm sorry to hear that. Because I told them, when they ask me, what got you into music? I tell them, my mother died. So I'm like, what does that have to do with anything?
Wow. Yeah, it's confusing.
So,
yeah,
but now I like that confusion so that somebody can get interested, then I can explain.
Yeah.
My mom really wanted me to be a musician.
Okay.
She did, and she got me into so many church choirs. But nobody saw anything interesting. In fact, they just found me funny. That's it. But now, when she passed on in 1999. So in 2000, when we're commemorating, remembering her 1 year later, I said, let me sing something. To the guys who've come home, let me just sing something, somebody's song,
yeah.
just to appreciate the fact that she thought I could sing even though I can't sing. So when I did that, that next Sunday when we were presenting flowers in church, the pastor said, he sang for us and he has something. Do you want to sing now? I got shy in the first service, but the second service I said, hey, okay, let me just do that. And from there, I began singing often in church, and that's how my career
started.
Began. So that's in the year 2000, recorded the first song, and it's God had a way of telling me, this is what I want you to get in, because the first song I ever wrote, and we recorded with a group called Sham, it's called Okiliamoko, became number one in the whole country.
Wow, that's good.
That was a good pedestal for God to start you in. So even when you start doubting you can't do it, you remember, hey, wait a minute,
yeah,
your song was number one.
Yeah.
You forget that, you remember people saying, hey, we're waiting for another song, so it keeps you going.
Very inspirational.
Thank you. So that's how it started. And all the way until now, I did that group. We did another song called Nisamehe with a group who were three of us. Then from there, I did a song to remember my mother. It's called Sweet Ndwale.
Yeah.
And that really was my first album. And now that really got me deep into the musical industry.
Amazing.
Yes, thank you.
Amazing. And you, of course, when people see you singing,
mm-hmm.
they may just think, maybe you never ventured into serious
yeah.
stuff and all
God,
that.
Yeah, and all that.
But when I speak to you, it's
yes.
totally different story.
Yes, it is.
You have a very funny, interesting career path, even that.
Yes, because my first degree I did in Moi University. It's called Bachelor of Science in Physics, actually. After I finished that, there was this craze for computers and all that. So I did a master's in computer-based information systems.
And in the UK, precisely.
University of Sunderland,
mm-hmm.
UK. After I finished that, and I also had a stint in banking, I did a bit of banking. From there, I started an IT company. Then from there, now I became a lecturer when I finished my master's. Then when I released the first album, which had Sweet Ndwale, I was like, now that's it. This is what I like. I may have studied physics, I may have studied IT, but I'm more interested in the music. So that one, I swam deep in and went all through.
But it's just the passion, isn't it?
The passion takes you.
Yeah.
The passion, because for me, music, first of all, I'm passionate about music and I'm passionate about God. So I like delivering His message via a tune, via a beat, via some music.
Okay,
because I realized when I was a lecturer, I could transform young people's thinking in 10s, in 20s, in up to maybe 50s.
Yeah.
When I was in the bank, I could be impressive in the bank, 10s, 20s, 50s.
Yeah.
But when I put melody in music, those are millions.
Definitely.
So God taught me, this is where you have most influence with people.
Yeah.
I got into music.
Wow. wonderful choice.
Thank you, sir.
Exactly.
And that is why you're interviewing me, because
I would never have seen you.
For physics? Why would you ask me whether E is equal to MC squared?
I'm going to come and open an account.
That's it.
And it ends there. Yeah,
yes.
You're right. Now I understand.
Yeah.
It's a wise choice.
Thank you.
When we talk about, you've been in the industry for some time now.
Yes.
And, I remember the history of music in Kenya. It's a long time ago. They used to play music cassettes.
Oh, my goodness.
And when it was stuck, you take a pen and you rotate
the
tape in it.
Either fast forward or rewind. And then the song is over. Turn. In fact, there were interludes.
Yeah,
at the end of side A, it tells you, turn over the cassette. Side B.
And then after that, the age of CDs.
Yes, the era of CDs.
But now it's of evolution. Things have changed.
Now it's digital.
So, I mean, how have you come along in your music with having to adapt to all these changes?
The beauty with anything to do with creativity and art is it's always evolving. Even when we are talking about tapes, you find, yes, you're doing tapes, but even your recording process is evolving. You don't have to use those big data things now, which computers came and everything. So you know every time something evolves, even sound, the sound of the music evolves. So that taught us to always try and stay abreast with whatever changes come. Tapes came, era of CDs came, CDs were too expensive first and foremost. So eventually they were able to be done. DVDs and VCDs, by the way, video CDs came.
Mm.
And now it's all digital.
Yes.
Now, digital has a drawback because it's easy to pirate the music. But also the positivity is the more you're pirated, the more bigger you become as a brand and the more people buy music anyway. So at times even piracy is actually your
friend. It's a blessing in disguise.
It is a blessing.
Okay.
The more your songs is pirated, the more even the people who can't pirate will know about the song. And they will go and purchase it.
Yeah.
So
wow. It sounds strange.
It's because, very weird.
Those I know who like to see their music being sold.
Yes.
Are extremely against piracy because.
Yes.
I remember when I was interviewing one of the musicians here in Kenya, a prominent musician. She was like, one of the challenges you had to face.
Yes.
Is because you had a song in your mind and you just uttered a few words in a public place.
Yes.
Within a week, someone will be releasing the same music for you.
Now, there's a time it was really an enemy piracy. The first time we released the song Okelia Moko, when that album came out, we didn't know it was going to be that big. We released a song that morning. By evening, I think it was number either 4 or number 1 in the country. That evening. So we are small kids. We're just singing. Yes, we love Jesus, but we're just singing. So now there's a big demand for that tape.
Yeah.
By the time we acquired resources enough to do the tapes,
it was trending.
We already met a pirated copy.
Wow.
That they dubbed from, there's a station,
Kiss
100, that was Maina Kageni,
Free
famous radio host,
was
in. So because he was presenting every, it was playing.
Yeah.
Ah, people in Rabadul, if a song is missing, dub, create, put a tape out there and it goes.
Okay.
So then it was crazy. But now, you realize, it's like we give music for free. Because once you do a song, you do a video, you put it online.
Yeah.
Your video on YouTube is free.
Yeah.
But if the video does very well,
mm-hmm.
you find that even YouTube does advertisements through your channel.
Yeah.
So you're able to earn revenue. So now the more the song goes, the more people watch it,
the
more you earn, the better.
No, that's good.
Yes.
Especially when you're doing through your own channel. It doesn't matter. Keep pirating. You're increasing my
play it,
subscriptions.
Play it. Get it going. Get it going everywhere.
No, I'm happy to know that, because I'm one person who has been thinking during the era of use of tapes, the CDs, and even now DVDs and stuff, piracy was still a key issue. So
yes.
I'm still thinking, how do musicians survive?
Yes.
But so, like you're saying, the change in technology,
yes,
the social media platforms,
works for you.
They work for you.
Yes.
Because I was thinking they are just a danger to your music even more. But
no,
they are happy.
Mm-hmm. Now they are positive. For example, if I go to a station,
yeah,
and I go to a show that is big in the country, when I go and perform there, and I get hosted, like now the way we are doing,
yeah,
and you play some of my music. When you go to YouTube, and my latest trend song maybe is called Tembea Nami, when you go to YouTube, you'll see somebody saying, Apple, on the comments,
yeah,
Colorful Radio brought,
yeah,
me here. Colorful,
yeah,
Radio.
Yeah.
So the more you're there singing,
yeah,
it for free,
yeah,
the more people run to YouTube to watch it for free. The more your views on YouTube, the more advertisement run on your channel, the,
yeah,
more you earn.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. And I think we'll take a little short break, because,
yes,
we are going to play one of your songs.
Yes.
Which one do you suggest?
We can start with Energy. We can do Okelia Moko Ama Piano, the latest.
It's one a piano, of the latest, yeah?
Ama Piano. Ama Piano is the new trendy sound of Africa.
Okay.
It's called Ama Piano. It started from South Africa, but now it's taking over the whole of Africa. It's called Okelia Moko.
Okelia Moko?
Yes.
Ama Piano.
Ama Piano version, yes.
Fashion, yeah?
Yes.
Colorful,
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 colorful radio. Colorful,
colorful,
colorful, colorful,
genius.
Colorful,
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 colorful radio.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
Welcome back. Yo, man. Wonderful, wonderful. Kenya. Kenya. Kenya is a great country.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so... Wow, what a wonderful song.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it's great, it's great, it's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm dancing in spirit.
That is a new sound in Africa. It is called Ama Piano.
Yeah.
So this song is simple. Just says, okay, Liamoko, lift your
hands
up.
Yeah, you say raise your hands.
Hands up. This side, that side, or to the left, to the right, to the right, to the left.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Thank you.
Brilliant, brilliant. So therefore, we're talking about now music in terms of those who sing, especially in Kenya.
Yes.
Whether it's secular or gospel, what changes have you noticed in the industry?
Number one, in terms of course, technology has improved. Production is good now. In fact, one of the things that amazed me, especially even during Corona time, COVID time, people started discovering, hey, you can't travel. I can't travel from here to maybe Tanzania to do a collab with a guy in Tanzania, or even in the UK for that matter. So we began realizing, I can actually record my part here, do a track, send the raw files to the UK. The person in the UK records their part, sends it back. We master it here, and it's a collaboration.
Wow.
In fact, one of the creative things I saw people doing too, which I'm trying to do with another song right now, is now to make it look legit, to make it not look like you've been forced by circumstance, part of the lyric is, hello, how is UK? I'm in Kenya. Things are good. But we are facing a bit of skirmishes here and there, but things will be good. I have called you to pray with me. Tell me how UK is. Then you get to the chorus. So now even he shoots his part in the UK on the phone. So it looks like it's not Corona that stopped you.
Yeah.
It's part of the creative process. That, and yeah, you're talking to somebody from here, they're talking from that there. So I like that development. Number two, now you can actually get a guitarist, a session guitarist, to put the guitars from the comfort of their studio and send them as wave, and you master from here.
Wow.
So we don't have to meet anywhere.
And they all sync?
They sync, yes. He'll send them in a certain format that we'll be able to bring it, put on the studio, and perfect.
Brilliant.
So that has amazed me. We are able to do that. Number three, because again of Corona, we can actually decide to do a concert here. I can pick my guitar, put my very good quality phone, guitar, sound setting, play, and people are watching me online. People are subscribing, people are watching, people are enjoying the show. So that has changed a whole lot of things. Majority of people don't necessarily need to go for shows now. a long time before. If I release a song, I had to go to various different stations for me to publicize it. Now it is not necessary. Now all I need to do is put my music on YouTube. They will find it. I can sell my views from TikTok. I can sell my views from all other digital, you know, DistroKid, all those other functions, and I'm sorted. So that's technology. It has adjusted everything to a different level altogether.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's great creativity. And in terms of, there's been this era whereby you start with some an artist.
Yes.
And talking like singing in secular.
Yes.
Or even gospel.
Yeah.
In the end, they swap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can just. But it's okay. It's okay. And they start as a gospel, but they end up as secular.
Yes.
Some in the past, not a lot, started in gospel and they ended up in secular.
Yes.
No. They started in secular and they ended up gospel. In gospel. Not
yes.
that many.
Yes.
But lately we've had this trend of starting as secular. Sorry, gospel.
As gospel and running up in secular.
Yes. What's causing that? Is it because somebody realizes there's no attention or there's no impact? I don't know. Why the change? How to explain the change?
There are various elements. Number one, and I saw that first and I was surprised when I saw somebody do that. He was a producer. He does gospel, audio, gospel, video, everything gospel. So this Muslim kid comes and they have done a love song, just a love song. So this guy tells him, no, me, I can't produce you unless it's gospel. So this guy, the gentleman, will go and adjust his song and make it sound Christian. Just to get the opportunity to be recorded audio, recorded video. So you see, this guy will be known in the industry as a gospel artist. But they're not doing gospel for the purposes of gospel. They're doing gospel because that's the opportunity that was handed down to them. That's number one. Number two, there was a time gospel was so up there. It was doing so well because it had so much money. It was a top industry in the country. So when things shifted and the money became more available in secular, there was such a huge number of guys who ran. So they were going for, some of them were going for the
money.
It's
more about the money.
Yes, they didn't start it as a ministry. Or yeah. Number three, now some of the artists came and found that and started and realized they are doing the music just for, as an industry.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing the music as an industry, your trail will follow where the money is, not where Christ is.
Yeah, it's true, it's true.
But where the cash is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. What about people like Joseph Kamaru? Because he was in secular for
yes.
a very long time.
Yes.
But in the end, he ended up in gospel in his last years
yes.
of production.
Yes.
Now, those what, ones, what about a case like that?
His case, I'd probably say him was probably a genuine conversion, because he's had it all. This is his Kamaru, one of the top artists in the country. He had the money, he had the sound, he had the fame, he had every attention he'd have wanted to. But by the time he was changing from secular to gospel, he wasn't changing because there was more money in gospel, but he was changing because he wanted to do ministry in as far as gospel is concerned. So his is very legit. It's like you do everything you think. All about life is fame, fortune, and females.
Yeah.
Then you realize, I need toshelezi.
That's not enough.
I need God. Mm. And I think he converted for God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's a challenge because when you have to focus, I mean, in the world today, we've seen a lot of that happening.
Yes.
From gospel to secular.
Yes.
You know, and all that.
Yes.
You're right. I think it's more to do with the passion, the drive
yes.
that the person has.
I'll give you another example of a Kenyan too. Size 8.
Yeah.
Size 8 was doing secular, and there was it's called Safaricom Live. Safaricom Live used to pay artists millions to do a tour around the country, and she was doing secular.
Yeah.
But at the height of that concert, and she's earning that much, she felt the call of God. And left all that. She didn't run to gospel because there was money. She ran because she felt God was calling
yeah.
her back.
Yeah.
As in, she left all that fortune of Safaricom and all those industries. And she tried to gospel, and she didn't know where the next income will come from. Wow. I think that's why God maybe has. And you can see even now, she's even opened a church.
Yeah.
She's preaching.
She's preaching.
She has that fire.
Wow.
Ultimately, she might make one or two mistakes, but who doesn't? We all do. We are human.
We are human.
But her passion and desire is genuinely for God.
Yeah. No, I know who you're talking about. I last interviewed when I was doing a documentary for Kenya Airways.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've met them with Willie Paul as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And even Eric Omondi that time.
Eric Omondi, funny man. So, Eric Omondi.
Yeah. So it's a change, and I think it's good. I'm happy talking to you because now it's kind of making sense. Because myself, like many people wonder why the change. What is the drive? What's the motivation? What has changed?
Yes.
So many questions are left unanswered because of the change.
Some of these artists, you can actually see, even in the drift of their music. They sing about Jesus, sing about Jesus, sing about Jesus. Then the next song they sing about, it sounds like a love song with a word Jesus in between.
And next
You can already tell where they are going. The next time,
we go full blast.
They will ask you, can't a Christian sing love songs? After that, the thing they will sing is crazy. So you can actually see the trajectory and see, we can tell where they are going.
Yeah.
We can tell where you're going.
Yeah. No, I understand. That's amazing. Now then, of course, we focused on singing issues and all that. Of course, I'm glad I'm back in Kenya, you know. And
welcome back.
I want people who know it's still the same month.
Yes.
We have seen some tear gas around.
Yes.
Foggy grounds in the cities like Nairobi happening and all that. Of course, I'm speaking to a television presenter. Let's talk about Kenya. But you know what?
Yes.
I want to begin with that nice, polite disclaimer. You see, the thing is, I love Kenya. To the rest of the world, it may seem like this is the end.
Yes.
But sometime, I think it's kind of, from Kenyan perspective, it's like we love politics.
Sana.
We know our rights.
Yes.
And even small children do that as well.
Yes.
And we know how to express ourselves.
Yes.
And we express ourselves in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have skills to kick tear gas back to the sender.
Instead of a footballing nation, we are a tear gas kicking nation.
We are not good in football.
We are good at kicking
but
tear
we
gas.
We kick tear gas.
Oh, our Kenya. Our beloved Kenya.
But it's a wonderful country.
Yes.
And we know when push comes to shove, we know how and when to stop.
Yes.
And we know how to come back.
Yeah, we know
and
how
remember,
to be resilient.
Hey, we also remember, it's not just our rights. We share the half the country with animals. What is their say?
Exactly.
They have a right.
There
did
you
we
go.
Consult?
We did consult. And they were not harassing our lives. So why are we messing up and harassing them?
Why are they swallowing tear gas?
Yes. Okay, that's funny.
So we know when to stop.
Yes.
And exactly that's what happened. Now we have peace. There's no more protest on the streets.
Yes.
The country is peaceful.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's going to be like that. Because after that next phase of life, we want to talk.
Yes.
Your take.
My take. Number one, in fact, it's good you say that because just the other day, my latest song is called Tembea Nami. And just at the height of all that confusion, you're wondering, who am I standing with? Am I standing with President Ruto and his UDA party? Or am I standing with Raila and his Azimio? So I was telling the believer, hey, this is confusing. But say, no, I'm standing with God. In fact, I'm walking with God. Will I walk in the mandamano or will I walk in the government? No, let's walk with God and believe God. That's number one. Number two, I just finished writing a song and I'm still looking for who to do it with. And I'm saying we need to, and you just mentioned it, and that's beautiful. We need to tabiri. To tabiri is to speak great things about the country and say, yes, we're having this trouble. Shakahola is a horror in the country. If people don't know what Shaka Kalhola is, it's a place in the coastal region where they found so many dead bodies of some people where a certain pastor was practicing some cult of sorts. But we are saying, no, we are prophesying great things for our country. Yeah? They have said kitaturamba. Kitaturamba means it will bite us.
Yeah.
But we are saying, no, it won't bite us. Mm. We are prophesying and saying, no, we'll move higher,
yeah,
in a better place. Mm. But it also calls us to be in a place whereby we can make ourselves. A country begins with me and you. What is my perspective? What can I do? Like Kennedy said, it's not about what the country can do for you.
JF Kennedy.
What you can do for the country. What are you doing to improve the country? What better way? There are things you can do nothing about. I mean, if they're blocked a road, you can't go anywhere. As in Machakos, sometimes they're blocked, I couldn't move. You can't move. But what else can I do for my future generations? Am I telling my future generations, let us not have... am I teaching them, let us always have a way of compromise where we can speak and understand each other instead of all of us having... Because it looks like it's a battle of egos between two factions. Yet... the country is bigger, and like you said, even the animals are relying, yeah, on our leadership.
Exactly.
So what happens? Mm-hmm. What happens to us? What are we projecting? So that's my take, and especially for Christians. Are we still praying? The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name, that means not just the whole country, but you, me and you who are called by God's name, shall humble themselves, purpose to seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Maybe you're saying, there are no wicked ways I am turning myself from. Granted, maybe true, but you stand before God to represent the whole nation. When people say men are, when women say men are bad, it doesn't mean I am bad, but I can stand there and be an example of a good man. So even as we stand before God and say, here is our sin, Lord, cleanse us. He will heal our land, forgive our sins and heal our land. I believe the best of Kenya is yet to come. And before it comes, there's always darkness before dawn.
We call it a bit of shaking.
A bit of shaking. It has to happen.
You know, even when you want to make the, yes, best fruit juice, is or even milkshake.
Yes.
What do they, no, they call it milkshake for, yes, a reason. It has to be shaken.
It has to be shaken.
Yeah.
You're a piece of a whole. You get? We need to pick all those experiences and, yeah, make them something.
This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
At times, a part of something is pathetic, but a part of something in a whole is awesome. I wouldn't drink a raw egg, neither would I swallow flour, wheat flour.
Yeah, no.
Or sugar on itself. But if I combine all of them and they are a cake, oh, that would be beautiful.
Exactly.
So we pick all these experiences, learn. Even the negatives, learn. And we say, what somebody's saying, what can we learn from tear gas being thrown? We can learn one thing, better relationships so that we don't have to throw tear gas tomorrow. Exactly. Better relations so that we don't have our kids. Because I saw who were blocked on the roads coming from Machakos. It's small kids, 15, 16, 17, who are blocked and saying, give us something small. Maybe these guys are hungry. It's not the right thing they're doing, but what can we do so that tomorrow these kids are not on the streets? They're either in school or in some tertiary institution learning something. Have society teaching our young generation good principles of life? I'm not going to worry. We are too busy working on building our own capitalistic gains. Yes. Those are the lessons. That's why I'm at.
Indeed. And of course, when we think, I'm glad you talked about the challenge. Or even the mosque, the Islam,
exactly,
the Muslims,
yes,
the Christians.
Yes.
And I want us to address the issue of closeness between religion and politics.
Yes.
See, the thing is, I've noted, which is very bad in campaign period.
Yes.
That a lot of aspiring politicians are now busy donating, making donation in churches, attending fundraising drives in churches. But from a political perspective, they walk into any church, they're like, how many people worship here? If you say 2,000, a politician in the priest loses ready votes. Ready votes. And that's a catastrophe.
Yes.
Because you're giving a pulpit to someone who doesn't have the ethics and the beliefs.
Exactly.
It's just here to seek for votes.
Yeah.
And it makes also some pastors, bishops, in closeness of these all, begin to make favorable prophecies.
Yes.
To those they think have given them a lot of money.
Or they can benefit from.
They can benefit from.
Yes.
And given that there are more bishops and there are more politicians to mingle.
Yes.
You, when you go to a church, you want to be fed spiritually.
Yes.
You end up being fed politics.
Yes. It is sad. It's a degeneration of sort. I remember there's a time when the president was Moi, and there were no political statements made in the church. They would make their statements right outside the stairs of the church. In church, no. You've come to church, come receive the sermon, and
walk out.
But now we've opened that door. Have we stopped trusting that God can provide? I won't preach to the politician, because a politician is a politician. They only see votes. But I'll speak to you as a spiritual leader. That what are you training people? Where are you placing them? Even the value the Bible puts on a spiritual leader is much higher than any politician. So anytime you're selling that, it's like you're selling the church birthright. And you let people, we need people not biased, but people praying for the land.
Yeah,
it's better that way.
Bishop or pastor, imam,
yes,
who can call out the government
exactly
when it's visiting injustices upon his citizens.
They
are neutral enough. They are connected with the higher authority enough to call out the presence. Excuse me, God doesn't want you to go that direction.
Exactly. The days of Ndingi Mwananzeki, people who would go
there,
Bishop Muge, you know,
Manasseh Kuria.
And if we talk about Britain, the days of John Knox, who, when the king or is it the queen heard John Knox is coming, they would actually shudder, because they know that's a message from God. If you go back to the Bible, the days of Elijah, you know, when he speaks, the king knows this is trouble. This is God speaking. And God provided for them.
Exactly.
So, even the church now, God can provide. You don't have to be under the beckon call of politicians.
Or to enjoy those trips to state house.
It doesn't have to be that way. When they're calling you to state house, the moment you step, even the president is like, well, if this one is not coming, I want to hear. But once they compromise you,
you've lost authority.
You've lost your voice, you've lost your authority.
You've lost your voice completely.
You've sold it. And as a result, even the congregation is gone.
I like the example you used, because during the era of President Moi, he faithfully went to AIC Kambarak all the time, every Sunday. You see him. Oh, even the pastor never used to acknowledge him. And Moi would not want to be acknowledged in the church, because he knew who he was, but he also knew God is, he's gone there because of God, and God is higher authority than a president.
He didn't want preferential treatment.
No.
He's come to hear God.
Exactly.
As a congregant.
And he was humble enough to sit down, to listen to the message, to see him sing all the hymn songs. And I know his favorite used to be, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." I used to see.
Yes.
And when you look into that, but you look now, what's going on? It's all about almost every bishop, I'm a bishop, politician, come, I'll prophesy for you. You'll be elected MP, come, I'll prophesy. And no politician dishing out money.
These politicians dishing out money, they will keep dishing. It is you, as a leader in... I remember there's an election I was called for. And I said I did not want to vie, I did not want to deviate, because I consider myself a spiritual leader, because I do gospel music. They called me, the politician who called me, I told him, I cannot come. I can't come to perform in your side, neither on the other side. I know my mandate and my call. It's not about the money. It was a good money. I was going to get very good money.
Yeah, of course.
But I was like, no, I won't. because that will confuse the people who follow. Because the moment you start there as a religious person, you're no longer you. It's no longer movie.
Yeah.
It's, to some people, you're the voice.
It's a voice.
Of God.
Yeah.
The voice God, the vessel God uses for his voice.
Yeah.
So we have to walk carefully. We're not saying there's anything wrong with going to status, but go there when God has sent you.
We
not want, when money has called you.
We want also to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are also human beings.
Yes.
They also to be fed spiritually.
Exactly.
But what we are saying, don't, we are not saying politicians shouldn't go to their church, but I think we need some humility and some decorum.
Yeah.
Because when we convert pulpits to be the place you exchange
political podiums. No, that's wrong.
Yeah. Now that's in very bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it becomes a time I'm like, if need be, if that's the way, just don't go, because that's not the place to go and play dirty politics.
Mm. Mm. But they just need to stop them.
Yeah.
If you're a pastor, let the sermon go like it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Acknowledge a leader, but they don't have to pick the mic.
No.
It's good to acknowledge leaders. Hi, yeah, wave. Yeah. But someone continues.
Yeah. So then, which way for Kenya? Because, this peace protest has been called off. What's likely to happen? The silence, we don't know.
Mm.
We don't know which way forward.
Yes.
Do you think there are going to be some talks and some peace deals being signed on? Or?
There has to be, because the country can't go on the way it is going. People have to have a reconciliatory mandate. But for us who don't know what we can do about that, we can actually pray. Number one, they say pray for those in authority. The moment you say pray for those in authority, people only assume you're praying for the people in the government. No, even the ones in the opposition, that's authority too.
Yeah, of course.
So we pray for all of them to be able to exercise their authorities in a manner that benefits the citizenry.
Yeah.
Because there's a role the opposition plays, there's a role the government plays, and there's a role they all play when they're at peace, and they're not name-calling, left, right, and center, shifting blame. It's not time to shift blame. It's time to take the country forward.
Leadership time.
Leadership
time. It's the time to display leadership.
They say a politician looks towards the next election. But now we need a statement looks towards the next generation.
Yeah,
let's think about the next generation that are coming. Where this society needs to be, and leave good footprints to watch a nyayo, good footprints that others can follow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to follow footsteps of great people.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, our generation now, youthful generation, what we've gone through and what they see. Do you think leaders are really doing everything right to prepare the generation for the future? And I'm speaking politically. I just want to illustrate my point in a clearer way. See, the thing is, you are Azimio, which is the opposition camp.
Yeah.
You get elected on a platform of that party. They are the ones, they are the reason you are in parliament.
Yeah.
The ethos, the values of that party took you to parliament, to you as a loyal member to defend those values. They took you to parliament, but you go to parliament, the winners or the ones in government bribes you, and you begin to betray those who send you to parliament. So, to coin a phrase, political prostitution is happening a lot. There's no other word better than that, so it can come clearer. What's your take on it? Because from where I stand, the moment you do that, you should be sent on and be elected on that party you have joined. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yes, I agree with you. But the weird thing is, white vice versa, the same thing would have happened. So there's a problem. Like there's a problem based on the tenets and the principles that we have, the values that we are sending to the generations that are coming. There's a big compromise. You will hear a person campaigning to be a leader, to be the president, maybe the next generation, criticizing some moves And when they get to power, they do the opposite. Then you will hear the person who's in the opposition, when they were working with the government, you hear them saying, don't complain about things going too high. You can't change it. And then when it go high, they are now rioting again. So there's, from all cadres of the political class, there's an element of not non-truthfulness. I'm lacking the right word.
Yeah.
And that makes me start questioning not just the political class, but the whole society in general. Are we all corruptible, so to speak? And that's what I was saying. We need to start with we ourselves. Because what we see, what we elect is who we are. What we elect is who we are. The reason we listen to some lies and vote for them is maybe because we are we are liars ourselves. Probably. So that tells us we need to start changing our ways and start changing the people coming up. We should be able to ask ourselves questions. Because all the people we've elected so far, what mark have they? There's hardly anyone, maybe save for Kibaki, who's been above 50%. So that tells us something, not just about the political class, but about our society. So what do we need to change as a society so that we can be able to gather developments and goals like countries like Singapore? What kind of mental shift do we need to have? Do we have a poverty mindset? And I think that's it. Because the moment you promise things to do, you get in power, you start enriching yourself, that's a poverty mindset. And also even, and you find it affects everyone, from government to opposition. So that tells you we need a new society. Initially we used to say, maybe young leaders will help because kina Moi are old. Well, yeah. The previous regime was very young.
Very young.
Then we said, maybe somebody who's rich, dynasty, will not mess anything. We elected that.
Yeah.
So now, it probably tells us then maybe it's a problem with the whole society.
We need to change a few things.
We need to change ourselves as a society.
Yeah.
It starts with me, and then me and my nuclear family for us to be able to change our whole generation.
So true, and wow, time flies when you are having great
conversations. Yeah.
Oh, wow, I can't believe it. But to our listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. But as for me and my great friend, Dr. Victor Bovi, we are signing off from Nairobi.
Africa in Focus.
Looking at the correction, I'm my OG, don't forget. Boy, wonder. Tell me what you love it. I'm a lama made it a collective. Right now, we're chilling with the brunette. And we are driving the Corvette. What she's doing, no comment. There is nothing similar to this sonnet. My ties, they part. And my girls, they spark.